The Adventures of Brandon Rockseeker, Episode 9. When we entered the common room of the Stonehill Inn, we found Mrs. Dendrar and her children surrounded by most of the town residents. It were Toblin Stonehill who saw us come through the door. "Here they are now, the heroes of Phandalin," he exclaimed. The room erupted in joy. They clapped, shouted, sang, and more hands slapped us on the backs than we had ever experienced combined. Mrs. Stonehill said, "Myrna has been telling us of what you have done for her and her children, not to mention what you've done for the whole town."
There was much cheering, and when it calmed down, Trilena went on.
"We have been finding discarded red cloaks all over the place. We're not sure what has happened, but it looks like the Red Brands have been disbanded."
I could no help myself. Being caught up in all the joviality, I blurted out, "Well, that may be due to the fact that their leader, one Glassstaff, is safely locked up in the jail under the townmaster's hall." There were a stunned silence, as if they could not believe their ears. So I went on. "So I've come to find the bottom of a cask or two, and I'm inviting y'all to join me." I pulled out a platinum piece from me coin purse and put it in Toblin's hand and said, "Good publican, give all who want drinks their fill. When this runs out, I'll make sure Lewis there pays for the rest. Now I'll start with a tankard of ye finest ale." Toblin took the coin and said,
"Right away."
Then the cheering really started. That began a long night of celebration. Each of us moved around the room and retold our tale in our own ways, all except for Virgil, who, though her hood were down, kept to herself in a dark corner. Garland were talking to the Dendrar children, who promptly ran out the front door. Beren looked at the fighter and said,
"What are you up to?"
Garland smiled and said,
"It's a surprise."
Not long after, the Dendrar kids came barreling into the common room, and with them were Killeen and Carp. That brightened Virgil's mood considerably. As we talked through the evening, we was each approached by townspeople with a job for us. Most of the jobs we had heard about during our first night at the inn. We promised to do what we could, but after, we had time to interrogate the former Glassstaff. The ale flowed, the stories were told, and it were a very late night for most of us. What fascinated me most about the celebration were the elf. He spent most of the evening with the children, showing them some tricks and cantrips. Seems the snobby high elf has a soft spot for wee ones. Who would have guessed? About the middle of the evening's events, Sildar Hallwinter arrived. He declined a mug and asked to speak with Lewis in private. Not being privy to the discussion, we didn't know what we were about. Lewis came back, a mixture of smiles and nerves. "Well, your highness, what were that all about?" Lewis said,
"Sildar has made me a member of the Lord's Alliance, and has asked me to take up residence in the town as Lord Phandalin."
"Well, that won't please Wester," said Garland.
"Good," I said. "I suppose you'll be insufferable now that you're a bleeding lord. But what about the party? You aren't going to abandon us now, are ye, your lordship?"
"No, Randan. I said I would continue to help the party, and Sildar thought that was wise. Now that the Red Brands are gone, the locals can manage things until we return."
Garland smiled and said,
"Well, that's good. We wouldn't want to lose our illustrious leader now, would we?"
Louis had the good sense to blush. He gave Garland a playful push.
"Say, whose round is it?" he said.
"Yours," I said, "and just in time, too, me mug's empty." I were the last to leave the common room to find me bed. Virgil went with Colleen fairly early in the evening, and the rest of us stayed at the inn. The next morning, I were a little worse for wear, but not so much that I were going to miss Iarno's interrogation. After one of Trilena's hearty breakfasts, we all met at the townmaster's hall. As we entered the hall, I could see by the look on his face that Harb and Wester were not happy with Lewis's elevation. Just as I were thinking he was going to make things difficult, Lewis walked right up to him and said,
"Harbin, I am hoping you will stay on as townmaster for the times I must be away while tracking down this black spider."
Wester was as shocked as the rest of us.
"You mean I can keep my position?"
"Under my direct supervision, yes," Lewis said. "Make no mistake, I am Lord Fandolin, and I expect you to care for the people of this town as carefully as I would. I have no time for fools, and less time for those who abuse their authority over others. My expectations are high. Do you think you are able to reach for them, Harbin?"
Wester had never been spoken to in such a manner, but he responded in kind.
"Yes, my Lord Fandolin, I will do my best."
"That's all I ask, Harbin. Thank you," replied his lordship. "Now I believe we have a prisoner to interrogate."
As we moved toward the cell, Garland strode next to Lewis and said,
"Nicely done, my friend."
"Aye, lad. That be a good piece of work there," I said. "Mayhap you're actually cut out for leadership." And then I winked as I continued, "Your lordship." The three of us shared a hearty laugh as we entered the cells. Seeing us jovial did nothing to improve Albrecht's mood. He scowled at us when we entered the room. Sildar Hallwinter was already there. He nodded at us when we approached.
"Lord Fandolin, good morning. Would you prefer to take the lead in this interrogation?" he asked.
Lewis then turned to me and said,
"I think I'd like Randon to handle this."
"Right ye are then, your lordship. Let's get him into those manacles," I said as I laced me fingers together and cracked me knuckles.
"There's no need of any of that, Master Dwarf," said Albrecht. "I intend on cooperating. I'll answer your questions without deceit."
"Bah," I said. "I do nay trust ye, to be honest. I'm clapping ye into those irons."
"Do as you wish. It won't matter. I'm sure the Black Spider will hear of this and will arrange for my freedom. You're all too late anyway. The information I have won't hurt the cause now."
I tried not to let me disappointment show, and Albrecht misread my expression.
"Your disappointment tells me that you thought you had the upper hand. You do not. Things are falling into place that even I know nothing about."
"Me disappointment weren't for that," I replied.
"No?"
Albrecht asked. "Nay, I'm disappointed that they don't seem to have any thumbscrews in this jail." I heard Virgil giggle behind me. "All right then, ye traitorous scum. What do ye know? Out with it." Well, sure enough, the traitor told us all. We learned the Black Spider were a dark elf known as the Drow. At the mention of that evil race of spider-worshipping people. Beren actually growled. I'd never seen the elf that obviously angry. And I had tried me best every day since we met. This drow had sent 3 bugbears to help keep the people under control. They weren't really necessary because, for the most part, the Red Brands had that handled. "Oi," I said, "Lord Lewis, how many of those hairy brutes did we meet?"
"Well, let's see. There was Clarg out in that cave. Then there was Mosk and his companion. So, yes, that's 3.
"Whatever happened to those 3, Garland? Remind me." Garland stepped up and said,
"We happened to them.
You people are utter fools," Albrecht said. "Those bugbears know, or rather knew, the way to a cave that houses the Forge of Spells."
"You know of Wavico Cave?" I said.
"Well, the bugbears did," the traitor said.
"Well then, it's a good thing we got thee," I said.
"They never told me where to find it," Albrecht said. "But they did tell the Black Spider, and he's already on his way."
"Guess you aren't important enough to tell such sensitive information," said Lewis. "Come along, friends, we have learned enough from this one."
We all filed out without another word. We gathered around the big table in the main hall. Harbin Wester stood from his usual chair at the head of the table and waited for Lewis to take that seat, which he did. Wester took the chair to Lewis's right. The rest of us just took seats at random after that. Lewis began.
"We have to decide what to do next as we look for Cragmaw Castle and the Forge of Spells. Harbin, what obstacles are in our way in the immediate area?"
"Well, my lord,"
Harbin said, like a man trying to get used to something new,
"there are a number of orc raiders on the eastern end of the Tribor Trail. They have been seen near Wyvern Tor. Darren Ettermath, a retired adventurer in Ettermath Orchard, has related stories from prospectors who've been chased out of the area around Old Owl Well by undead creatures. Finally, Sister Grael at the Shrine of Luck has asked that your lordship and companions come see her for a delicate matter."
"Good," said Lewis. "I believe it may be best to undertake these ventures and see what we shake out. I'm not keen to leave the Black Spider any allies behind us as we continue on our main goal of finding Gundren, Cragmaw Castle, Wavecho Cave, and this Black Spider."
We all agreed that this were a prudent course of action, and I said, "Well then, let's head off to visit Sister Grael." The shrine were tiny, made of stones that must have come from somewhere else, as me keen dwarf eye could tell easily. The shrine was dedicated to Timora, goddess of luck and good fortune. We entered the shrine and found a young elf seated on a bench, a book open on her lap and her eyes closed in meditation. The sound of us entering the shrine brought her out of the trance. She gently closed her book and then rose to greet us.
"Welcome, heroes, to this simple shrine. I am honored to meet the saviors of Phandalin."
Beren took the lead and said,
"Dear lady, I assume you are Sister Grael." "I am, my elf cousin," she replied. "We understand from Harbin Wester that you have a delicate matter to discuss with us."
"Why, yes, I do,"
the scholar replied.
Recently, my superiors have asked me to persuade a banshee named Agatha to answer a question about the whereabouts of a certain spellbook.
Varian couldn't control himself.
What spellbook?
The good sister smiled at his outburst and replied,
I believe that Agatha knows of the location of the spellbook of a legendary mage named Beaugentle.
Varian quivered with excitement.
I know of that mage. I can only imagine the kind of powerful spells that may be contained in that book. Indeed, dear cousin. Precisely why my superiors want it returned. I went to her lair just outside of Coneybury, but the creature would not appear for me. I am hoping that if you go and present her with this...
She held forth a jeweled silver comb.
Then the creature may well trade the information I seek for such a suitable gift. However, I should warn you, Agatha is extremely vain. I would recommend that you appeal to that vanity in all your dealings with the creature. Otherwise, I fear for your safety, because it may well be in deep peril.
Varian accepted the comb and said,
My companions and I will bring back that book, if it exists. Thank you, dear cousin. May Timora guide your steps.